Back here on Sactown Sports 1140, the Drive Guys with Drapes and High Flyer. High Flyer in for Kevin Gleason, who's out in Okinawa right now in Japan with family hanging out. Hey, I want to give a shout out to our girl Simone. It's her birthday. She about to go turn up, celebrating.
All right.
What's Simone, like 22, probably 23? I'm old, man.
HBD Simone.
Yeah, happy birthday to her.
Girl. I love flowers, man. What can I say?
Where you at, Simone? Oh, that's the drop? That's the drop. She loves flowers. That's right.
Dollars and cap space.
All these Simone drops. Hey, let's bring in our guy, Tony Harvey, my man. You can read his stuff, the AP. You can follow him on social media. This guy knows the Sacramento Kings up and down. He's at all the home games asking the questions. Tony, my man, thanks for jumping on. You're on with Drapes and High Flyer. How you doing?
How you doing, KD? And how you doing, Hank?
What up, baby?
Hey, man, let's talk about last night, man. Obviously not the best of efforts. Took the L to the Clippers. What did you make? What's your thoughts on what went wrong last night?
I know players don't like to talk about it, but I think there was a little fatigue involved that definitely had to play a factor into it, because I know, you know, in my opinion, in my perspective, that, you know, Domantas Sabonis should be handling Zubac without any question, without any problem. I think a lot of that had to do with, you know, the emotions that, you know, were kind of high the night before, you know, with the Warriors, and they carried it into the second game. They was pretty much deflated. The Kings, that is. So I would really like to see them win these back-to-back games. That's just me. I don't care what the situation is. I know they don't like me to bring these things up, you know, about their pay or anything like that, but fans pay money to come see these games, and they want to see you get that one as well, though. But hey, you know, it happened last night. It's time to move on. They got Denver on Saturday. You know, I know they look forward, you know, to facing them as well. So let's see if they can get that W.
Go ahead, High Flyers.
No, bro.
Let me ask you this then, Tony.
There you go.
Because we spent the last hour arguing.
Set it off again.
Yes. And the fans have backed up High Flyer to the most point. But I maintain, Tony, yes, we do want them to win these back-to-backs. Yes, we would have liked a better effort last night. We also got to realize the Clippers were at home chilling in the hotel room. They got embarrassed the other night by Denver at home. They've been listening to the media, and the next text line brings this up. Have you talked about the perfect storm, being the Clippers being absolutely embarrassed in the media again the game before? They lost at home to Denver without Jokic and without Murray. So this was a hungry Clippers team, a rested team, going against the Sacramento team that exhausted everything against the Warriors. I'm giving the Kings a pass. Are you giving them a pass?
No. I have higher expectations for this team. I was in that locker room. I was in the Clippers locker room after the game, KD. Cal,
I'm listening.
The Clippers wanted that game more than anything because of what happened to them in Denver. I understand how hungry that is, but, you know, just seeing what the Kings have been doing and stuff like that, that's when you kick them in their face, okay? I know that, you know, they made this trade, you know, they got James Harden, and they're going through some things like that. But personally, I don't care, you know. Kick them in the face, trip them, knock them down on the ground and stomp them, you know, and let them know you're not coming in here to do that either. I don't care what the deal is. These back-to-backs were designed for a reason. You get paid, you know, you get your money and you get that game too. You get that game not only for yourself and your coaches and your coaching staff, you get that for the fans. You get that for the Sacramento fans. Every time I walk out of there, man, I want to see that beam up, man. You know, when I take that trip down south of I-5, you know, heading home, that's a beautiful sight, you know, walking out of there. You know, usually I'm out of there hour and a half, 2 hours after the game is over and stuff. So that's just, KD, I understand. I don't know what the conversation was like that. I think maybe Hank, Henry, you agree with me too. get those games, man. You know, Tone,
I got a couple questions to ask you. And I just want real quick answers. Have we been playing back-to-backs forever?
Forever. Ever.
It's nothing new, right?
It's nothing new, and it's definitely nothing new to those players.
Okay, now what I'm saying is, I'm not saying crucify the Kings. I'm saying that Mike Brown is preaching to these guys, they have to get better. They have to be dominant on their home floor. I'm with everybody else. I understand everything that they gave against the Golden State Warriors, but this is the NBA. You're playing with the big boys. You have to be ready that next night. And then at the end, here's my two-parter, Tom. You went down 24 against Golden State. You won. You come out the next night, you go down 23 against the Clippers. You lose. KD gives you a pass. Now, I asked him, what is he going to say when we play Denver and they go down 24 again? You don't want to create that pattern, do you?
No, you don't. You absolutely do not want to create that pattern. And falling back on what you said about Mike, you know, Mike is always preaching and talking about being great. Well, get this back to back and show me how great you are. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You want to win a championship, okay? Another thing, because the man been talking about these deep runs in the playoffs and stuff like that, okay? This is your time, okay? I don't want to wait 68, 70 games down in the season that you say, oh, you know what, let's start winning these back-to-backs and anything like that. No, these things pretty much impact the whole season, this early in the season stuff. You know, I feel the same way about this in-season tournament, which I approve of, I support of. It kind of adds a little euphoric, intense excitement, you know, this early in the season. Go get these wins. Take those back-to-backs, okay? I would think that would happen in Houston, regardless of where you went. You know, you're at G1C or you're playing on the road to Toyota Center, wherever you're playing, okay? That you would have it in the back of your mind that I gave it everything I got for these Warriors game, that Warriors game last night, okay? And the hitman, and I'm talking about Malik Monk, came in there and saved the day, okay? I'm going to go out and try to repeat something similar to that the next night for these fans and for ourselves, okay? You want to be great, build the confidence in that one. That's all I'm saying.
I'm okay. Telling you.
Hey, Kyle, you know I love you and stuff.
Nah, like but you know what, Tony, though?
The road to a championship is bumpy.
You know what, though? I'm going to call it real. I'm going to keep it real with you. And I might get in trouble for this. Kings fans might not like me for this. Where was this energy 2 years ago? Where was this energy 5 years ago? Where was this energy 7 years ago? Where was this energy 10 years ago? You know, it's... I've been like this 100% my entire life. I agree with you. If we really trying to be about it, you got to handle that. But let's call it, keep it real, too.
I'm not saying nothing that Mike Brown ain't saying.
Hey, look, there's one man that stepped up to the plate last night. You know who that guy is.
Tell him.
The Fox.
The same. Hey, Tone.
He knew where it was. It's like, we did this. You know, he's already upset about all these free throws out of missed the night before. I'm coming back in here and I'm running. And he did that in a silent way, too. Okay. Mike Brown won all these games. Sacramento Kings, they want these games, too. Get these back to backs, Kyle. Get these, brother. Because I'm going like this. You know, 2 or 3 years ago, you know, that's what we, Henry, you know what I'm talking about. Teams coming in here, we don't know who these players are, and they setting it off with career highs and, you know, season highs and stuff like that. And the next day, game that they go, the next town that they go to, they, you know, they fall flat, 1 or 2 points or something like that. That's what I was seeing in the last 2, 3 years. Now we got a coach in here, you know, who is I'm holding everybody accountable here. This is what we're going to do, and you can hold me accountable too, as he did when he was talking about some stuff that was going on with him, Sabonis and Colin Clay, okay? Step up to that challenge. Do this. Win these games. Okay. I definitely don't want to see what was going on 2 or 3 years ago. All right.
Right.
Know, these teams coming into G1C and it's like, we own this, you know? So that's basically, you know, where I stand on this. So, I want to see them win those back to back just like anybody else.
Tony, I'm gonna say this, and it's the last I'm gonna say on this topic with you here. This was not your ordinary back to back. High Flyer even said it. The game against the Warriors was a game seven. And now you asking to come against a hungry Clippers team with four Hall of Famers. That's all I'm saying. That's it. We can agree to disagree. We got Denver coming up on Saturday. Another chance to make a statement. High Flyer says, what if they get down by 20, 24 to Denver? I say, what if they blow out Denver? Now what? You know what I mean? And so in the NBA season, you can't get too high or too low. You can't get too high or too low. And I'm angry about not the loss and what happened. The fake outrage I'm hearing from fans and media members about this, calm down. It's one of 82. When they blow out Denver on Saturday, is everything going to be okay? That's what I'm saying. You got to turn the page on this and not be all worried and upset. And you know what? It's one of 82. Tony, this team is 10-7. They were 10-7 a season ago, and we were calling it the best season ever for Sacramento. They're at 10-7 right now, and so I'm still very confident in this team. 20% into the season so far. How are you feeling about this team?
I'm riding high with them right now, too. I know there's been a bumpy, bumpy road and everything, but I'm really riding high.
You're killing me, Tony.
Had some issues going on with, you know, a couple injuries, including De'Aaron Fox and a couple other players. I know Keegan is still out. They still trying to make that move. Yes, they do have Denver, you know, on the agenda this Saturday, and then this knockout round that they have in the season tournament. There's still a lot of room for improvement there. You know, the coach even said it himself, you know, Kyle, you know, it's going to be some – he would like it to go, you know, ascend at all times, but there's going to be some peaks and there's going to be some valleys. We understand that, stuff like that. But, you know, when we get into this point, you know, I myself, as a journalist, I just have some high expectations. I don't control the whole situation and stuff like that. But trust me, you know, Henry, you know, we've been watching this stuff for 26. We watched 16 years of feudal stuff going on, stuff like this. So when you see, you know, where the direction that they're going on, you know, you know, you want to see them exceed. And I do think, you know, where they are right now, they still can accomplish a lot of things, you know, going for the rest of the season, okay? 50-plus, that's what I'm looking at.
Okay. My guy, Tony Harvey, check him out. AP's at every home game, always writing about the Sacramento Kings. Good stuff as always, Tony, man. We will see you on Saturday, my man.
Yes, sir. I'll see both of you at Saturday. You know the routine. I'm always there pretty early. And, I'll be in both locker rooms.
exactly. I like that. Tony Harvey joining us here on The Drive, guys, on Sactown Sports 1140. Appreciate it, Tony. Coming up next, we're going to get to your phone calls. Hit us up, 916-339-1140. I see you on the YouTube and the chat line as well. We're going to continue to talk about this back-to-back. Last night, you lose. Is that a problem going forward? They're 0-2 on the second night of back-to-backs. You'll hear from De'Aaron Fox on that coming up next here on The Drive, guys, Sactown Sports, 1140. The Drive, guys, with Drapes and High Flyer here on Sactown Sports, 1140, 916-339-1140. Still talking about that game last night. Kings falling to the Clippers at G1C. And it wasn't even close. As the final score, 131-117. Kings got down 35-27, and they gave up 37 points in the second quarter as well. They were down 72-50 at halftime, down by 22. I say, you know what? I could have saw it coming. It was predictable.
And you know what? And I can say this too, KD.
Yeah.
Okay, we won the Golden State Warrior game.
Yep.
And we're fine with that.
Yep.
Everything was great.
Yeah, it was nice. Great.
I could tell you right now, Mike Brown wasn't happy that they gave up 70-plus points in the first half against the Golden State Warriors. He wasn't happy about that.
He wasn't happy at the time, High Flyer. No,
listen.
Go ahead. I'm going to listen to you.
He wasn't happy about that.
Of course. Nobody was.
But what I'm saying is that he's setting a presence. He wasn't happy about that. Even though everything at the end came up roses, I bet in the meeting the next day, you bet in him. I bet in the meeting next day, he had 70-plus first half unacceptable. I guarantee it.
And I agree with you. But that's when Mike Brown laid his head down in bed last night, when he woke up this morning, he brushed his teeth, when he washed his face, when he had his Cheerios for breakfast, you know what he said to himself? You know what? Yeah, it was one of 82. I could see it coming. Mm-hmm. But publicly, to his teammates, he's acting like you guys are acting. That's all I'm saying.
And when he woke up and looked at that Clipper game, giving up 70-plus points in the first half, once again, unacceptable. And plus, let's not make this a habit. That's all I'm saying.
All right. I want to hear from you guys, man. 916-339-1140. Let's get to Dave on line two. Dave, you're on with Drapes and High Flyer. What's your take on this, man?
Hey, brothers. Let me tell you, I wasn't too upset. I mean, I was upset that they lost, but I kind of saw it coming. They had an emotional letdown from the night before. They didn't have Keegan, and that thing with his length and size really hurt them in this game because of Leonard and George. And they were hitting lights out. The Clippers were on a pace. They were really hitting lights out. And those games happen. But I'm telling you what, I think when they play again, they got a few days off now, but when they play again next week, I can guarantee you they're not going to score 70 in the first half because Coach Brown is not going to let that. And I would, you know, if I was the coach, I would tell him the same thing. You know, these things happen, boys, but by God, there better not be another 70-point first half or, you know, things are going to change. You've got to let them know that.
Amen.
Dave, appreciate the call, my
Amen,
brother.
Amen, Dave. Preach. Appreciate church, that, church, Dave.
My guy, Dave, right there. You know, we heard from Sasha Vezenkov earlier about this. And the question, you know, has been raised about the second night of back-to-backs. Remember they beat Dallas, great win in Dallas, then came back, laid an egg against the Pelicans. Last night, laid an egg against the Clippers. You beat the Warriors the night before. They're 0-2 on the second night of back-to-backs. Mm-hmm. They got 15 of those this season. Here's what De'Aaron Fox had to say about the second night of a back-to-back. And any excuses at all? Let's hear from D-Fox.
I mean, everybody in the league plays back-to-back, so that's nothing that we can really complain about. But we just have to, for us, we have to be better on back-to-backs. I mean, we've been blown out in two and both of our back-to-backs, so we just have to be able to come back and be ready.
Here you go. That's De'Aaron Fox. That's your leader.
Okay. Okay, true.
All right.
I'm with that.
Go ahead.
I agree. They got to be better.
They got to be better. That's
they
got to
be better.
We all agree on that.
This is a guy who's been in the league 6-plus years now, knows has played back-to-backs. I'll go with what he's saying. Sasha Vezenkov ain't played a back-to-back in Europe ever.
Come on now.
Ever.
Don't do that, High Flyer.
Ever.
Don't minimize with
ever.
Sasha. He's in the trenches also right now.
This is the first year he's played a back-to-back in his whole career. I've played overseas. I know. You're talking to a guy who knows. So back-to-backs is a part of it. You heard De'Aaron. His first words were, everybody plays back-to-backs.
Right.
Nothing new.
But not everybody play.
No, everybody plays back-to-backs.
In-season tournament back-to-back and then against a four Hall of Famer Leighton Clippers rested team back-to-back.
KD, don't put extra on it.
No, because you're Kyle Flyer, you can't just say back-to-backs. De'Aaron Fox can't say back-to-backs. YouTube chatters can't say back-to-backs. And text line guys can't because this was not your normal back-to-back, Big Fella.
I agree
That's
with
my
you
point.
On that,
but normally, I would not give them a pass, but in this instance, this is not your normal back-to-back.
My question, are you going to go against the man himself? We just heard what
I'm
he said.
I'm going to get, yes.
Okay.
You got. I stand
I'm
on
done.
My, hey,
I'm done.
You if call you, me you, big word for a reason.
I'll be quiet. I'll be quiet. But I'll be talking again.
Hey, Jade, I like that the phone lines, you know, are lit up, man, because I want to hear from the Sacramento Kings people out there, the true fans out there. David, you're on with Drapes and High Flyer. I know you agree with me, David. Back me up on this.
I'm not too much worried about this one game, but the one thing that I did notice is that Zubac pretty much manhandled Sabonis down there, so, similar to what Looney did in the playoffs. And so when the time the playoffs comes, when the games count and the games slow down, I mean, I'm not sure if we have the personnel to man up to the real big guys. I mean, we have our backup center, but he's not a bruiser. He's just a tall, lanky guy who can get rebounds and block shots, but when they start to beat us up, I mean, when is it? We don't hit our threes, we either live by the three or we die by the three.
All right, David, appreciate it, man. Where you at, the Speedway or something? He out at Daytona right now. But go ahead, High Flyer. What do you think about what he said? Because we can have this a bonus conversation. We can have that conversation. And I'm not going to blame emptying the tank on the Warriors and all that. 3 of 12 against Zubac, that's not getting it done for Domas. He got to be better.
He has to be better.
Yes. We all agree on that.
Even De'Aaron Fox said they have to be better as a team. We know that. But I will say this, and this has been proven over a few games for the Sacramento Kings. Length bothers them, and they were long. Paul George, long.
Yes.
Kawhi Leonard, long. Yep. Zubac in the middle, long. So, you know, the one thing that I say that the Sacramento Kings have that they can combat against the length and strength is that they can use their speed. Well, James Harden controlled the tempo of the game from the start. They played Clippers-style ball. And even when the Sacramento Kings started to get up and down a little bit, they start coming back, the Clippers would get a turnover. They would get an offensive rebound. They would get a steal to stop the run for the Sacramento Kings. The Kings, in order for the Kings to win against a big, strong, long, lengthy NBA squad, they have to play King style. It has to be up and down. It has to be up and down. But they also, KD, if they're not knocking down those threes, they better take some twos. Because if you're not knocking down threes, you playing up and down, and you're shooting, and it's clanking, they're getting the ball, and they're going back. You're going down 24 real quick, aren't you?
Yeah. You're right. You're on with Drapes and the High Flyer here on Sactown Sports 1140. I want to get to Chris on line one. Chris, what you got for me, man?
Hey, Drapes, High Flyer, my fellas, how y'all doing today?
Salute. What's up, fam?
Hey, I just, you know, High Flyer was hitting it on the head. We did that in the Lakers game. We started out strong. We started out fast. We moved the ball up and down the court with speed, and we were able to beat them with their length. Look at the SA game with Wimby. It was hard. We had a hard time. Same thing with, the Pelicans. Their length really hurt us. So I think the thing that makes me a little leery, I'm not anxious or upset or anything like that, is I don't want us to become the Lakers 2.0. I don't want the slow start to continue and us to have to figure things out late in the game and then control it from there. And that's the only thing from that Golden State win and then the loss last night, coupled with a couple other wins and losses this season, I need some more consistency. And that's where my fear comes from as a fan, that we're not getting that consistency.
All right, Chris, appreciate that, man. Great call. I want to slide in Steven as well. Man. Steven, you're on with Drapes and High Flyer here. What's up, Steven?
Man, what's up, man? It's my birthday, same as Simone's, man. So I want to get some special love, man. You know,
happy birthday, bro.
Shout.
Man, thank you. Your guys' energy, by the way, man, has been absolutely 100% infectious all week. And so, man, I applaud you. I like your chemistry that you guys got going on here, man. It's beautiful.
Thank you, bro.
Listen, okay? So I love you, Kyle. I'm going to hit you with your line. You're my guy, Kyle. You're my guy. But listen.
He set me up, right? He set me up. Go ahead.
Oh, man. But listen, no, you're my guy. I really love you and I respect you a lot, man. We have been getting dragged, absolutely dragged. We have been the laughing stock of the league for the longest time. We have been darn near the Cleveland Browns of basketball, okay? We get looked at, we get loved because we're loyal. We're loyal fans. Now that we have surpassed and we have met our expectations from last year because of all of the success from last year, our expectations are through the roof now because we got to taste that playoff success. We got the taste of that success. We got to see what this front office can actually do when you get a GM who is competent and who can actually bring in his own head coach, his own man. You want to set up this culture. That's how you set up the culture. It's been wishy-washy for years. It's been the GM and then the head coach, and then the head coach stays, and then he gets a new GM, and the GM. We've all watched it, man. We all know what it's like. Now that we get a taste of success from last year, we are still to this day not getting the respect and the love that we deserve. So I feel like every single game, it doesn't matter if it's a back-to-back. Henry, I got you, man. I'm with you on this one, man. We've been playing back-to-backs for a long time. Long, long time. It doesn't change. That aspect does not change. It will always stay the same. Back-to-backs are always going to be there. Now, I'm going to close on this real quick here.
All right, what you got, man?
Oh, man, look, I'm passionate and I love it, man. So look, we need to step on everyone's neck and not let off from the jump, from literally the tip until the final whistle, until that clock rings 0-0-0, okay? That's how we have to do it, because we got to earn the respect of the league. And so how are you going to do it? By beating everyone to an absolute pulp and showing that we are not a team to be messed with. We are not a joke. We're here to play, and we are for real.
Steven,
thank you, boys. I appreciate you.
Hey, I appreciate your passion, your energy, and I'm actually, you know, as a guy who's been here, this is my fourth season with the Kings High Flyer, I'm excited and happy to see Kings fans now say,
sure,
you know what? Uh-uh. Losses like that, that's unacceptable. That's where we need to be. I get it, and I'm happy we're at that point now. We got much more on this topic coming up here next, 916-339-1140. I just got an email, an update on the in-season tournament schedule, when the Kings play, if they beat the Pelicans, and when they play, if they should happen to lose as well. I got that for you. That's coming in next here on The Drive, guys, with Drapes and High Flyer, Sactown Sports. Look at High Flyer over there. You know I had to let the beat drop in, right?
Man.
He had to let the beat drop.
That's gangster right there. Even though it's a young lady's song, it's gangster.
Right. Oh, I'm fired up here on The Drive, guys. Sactown Sports, 1140 Drapes and the High Flyer. I'm looking at the YouTube chat. Might as well close up shop and head home, QQ says. Between Drapes, High Flyer, and this chat window, I'm not getting anything done at work. I love it.
Yeah,
hey, if you're out there, yes, sir, tap in on the YouTube channel, Sactown Sports 1140. Tap in on the text line or the phone line where you could call us, 916-339-1140. Continuing the conversation about the Kings' loss last night, I do want to bring up, I teased it before we went to break, we do know when the Kings will play next week. We know their game schedule next week now.
Okay.
So we know they play Monday at home against the Pelicans.
Hosting.
Yes, they are hosting. If they win that game, their next game would be Thursday, 6 p.m. in Vegas against either Phoenix or Los Angeles, the Lakers.
Right,
6 p.m. That's the in-season tournament winner's bracket. If they should happen to lose that game,
The Pelicans game.
If they would happen to lose the Pelicans game, they would play at either Phoenix or the Lakers on Friday, 7 o'clock or 7:30. If it's Phoenix, it's Friday at 7. If it's the Lakers, it's Friday at 7:30.
Right.
Exactly.
Because they have to make up that game.
Yes, exactly.
Got
they still would have to play one game.
Right.
So the Kings play Monday.
Okay, question.
Yes.
So they're going to be on the road. If they lose, they're on the road both of those games.
No matter what, they're on the road.
Got
exactly.
You.
If they play Phoenix, they're on the road. If they play the Lakers,
they're on the road.
Exactly. And those games, if they lose, from a TV standpoint, would be on NBC Sports California. All games, of course, right here on Sactown Sports 1140.
Yo.
Got to give you a shout-out. Got to give you and G-Man a shout-out.
That's right,
for
baby.
Sure. Y'all do great work.
Appreciate
as
it.
As always. So, what do you think about that, man? First of all, I'm a big fan of the in-season tournament. I like it. I'm not a fan of not knowing the schedule until a few days beforehand.
Well, it has to be that way, KD, because this is new, bro. I mean, really, we flying by the seat.
Right. Yes.
We are flying by the seat. It's the first year. Everything isn't etched in stone. They're trying to figure it out. But I'll tell you one thing that they have figured out is that we're playing meaningful basketball in November and December.
Yes. And that's what they wanted to accomplish, right? That was it.
That was the end-all, be-all goal of this tournament.
That was it. Hey, we got a special guest coming up. I was hesitant to announce him. because I had to check with you. Coming up at the top of the hour, you know we bring you the best guests right here on Sacktown Sports 1140. I'll let you do the honors.
No, go ahead.
I'm okay with teeing him up.
Yes. You do it better than I do.
The Hall of Famer.
Right.
The NBA champion.
Right.
Oaktown's finest.
In the building.
The glove, Gary Payton, will be joining the Drive Guys here on Sacktown Sports 1140.
Wait, we're talking Gary Payton Senior.
Senior, okay. Right. Not the second.
Yeah, not the one that just had the little, the calf pull.
The injury, yes.
We talk about the man himself.
Probably the biggest trash talker in NBA history, maybe? Like,
he won in two.
He was yapping.
He won in two.
He was yapping.
I love him, my dude. He won in two.
Who is bigger trash talker? Him, Jordan?
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird?
Larry Bird talked more trash than both.
What?
Gary was louder, but Larry would talk trash, dog. I mean, he wasn't that loud, but he would talk trash. He'd be like, you do know I'm standing right here, Larry. I can hear what you're saying.
The thing I love about Larry Bird, and this story has been told all the time, he would tell you what he's going to do before he does it, and then follow through and do it.
KD.
Come on, man.
Didn't I tell you I played this game?
Yes.
I had that happen to me.
What?
At Arco.
Let me hear that.
At Arco, we're playing, and this is back when Jerry Reynolds was coaching.
Yep.
Him and Jerry from the same hometown.
Yeah, French Lick.
French Lick. We're getting ready. First of all, I sub in, and I'm guarding Larry. Larry walks over to Jerry Reynolds and say, hey, Jerry, you must be getting real desperate. You got this kid guarding me.
Talking about you?
Yeah. And I'm standing there. I'm like, I'm a rookie, though.
Yeah.
I'm like, you do know I'm standing right here, right, Larry? Yeah. So we go up and down a couple of times, and now we're about to get ready to go to halftime, right? He said, here's what I'm about to do. I'm about to come off the screen. I'm going to shoot this ball in the corner for three, and it's going to go in as the horn sound.
Get out of here.
Now I'm listening to it.
Right.
Play starts. He come off the screen. He catch the ball. Lets it go. It goes in. We get the ball, take it out, throw it up, and we miss the three-pointer. On the way to the locker room, this is back in the day with Arco, where both the teams would go down to the tunnel together.
Same.
On the way to the locker room, he taps me on my butt and said, young fella, I lied. I left 2 seconds on the clock.
What?
Yeah.
Larry Bird?
He said, young fella, I lied. I left 2 seconds on the clock.
Man. You know what? As we talk about the game's greatest, GP was up there. We're going to have him at 4 o'clock. Larry Bird, people forget about, man.
I don't know. I don't know why.
And you played against him.
I do not know why.
You know, because I was a Magic guy growing up. That's why.
Me too.
And so Bird, I couldn't give Bird love. It's like you couldn't like Bird and Magic. You had to choose between the two.
You know what, though? And it's funny because you're a Boston guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Philly guy.
Okay.
I'm from Philly. Don't call me a Boston guy.
Right,
that's my bad. That's blasphemous.
Okay, okay, well, if you're a Philly guy, I was a Julius Erving cat.
Dr. J, most underrated player, I think, out there.
And let me tell you. I was a New Jersey Nets Julius Erving dude. I'm talking about the big afro.
Not when he cut it closer. Yeah.
I got two jerseys in my closet right now besides mine. Number 32, New Jersey Nets, and number 44, San Antonio Spurs.
Iceman.
The Iceman Gervin.
Really?
Love them two dudes. But, man, what Larry Bird and Magic Johnson did for the NBA, bro, you cannot quantify that. Because I remember I was a young dude. Wide World of Sports. You only got...
ABC Wide World of Sports.
You only got two games back in the day.
Yep.
It was Boston and whoever they played. And then the second game was the Lakers and whoever else they played. That was all you got. And then don't let the Harlem Globetrotters be on. You didn't get one of them. So... Magic Johnson and Larry Bird took the NBA from that to what you see now today. And you know what? Give love to where it's due. You know, bless his heart, he gone. David Stern. David Stern, Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson, they took the league to that next level, and it shot off through the atmosphere when Michael came in.
Mm. A lot of people say that David Stern ruined the league in this way. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Instead of marketing teams, he started marketing individuals. It became more about individuals over time and not actually teams.
You know, back then it was different, man, because you could say he marketed, you know, individuals, but I think it was more so the endorsements that did that. Because think about that time when Magic and Bird was heavy, Converse was everything.
Yeah.
You know, remember the weapons commercial?
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Magic you pulled up those, in the limo. Right? Yeah. Magic pulls up in the limo and Larry Bird is on the farm. You know, I think it was more so, you know, the tennis shoe companies that did that, because Converse was huge. They had everything. They had the league on lock. And then, you know, I'm pretty sure you watched Air.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
When Nike came, bro,
it changed.
And they grabbed Mike, and what Mike did, it changed the game. It changed the game. So it really wasn't about, you know, what team he played on. It was Michael. You know, and then, oh, it's Magic. It's Bird. You know, yeah. Dominique was in
Dominique,
that. Okay, yeah. Isaiah Thomas was in that. You know, so that's where it just, you know, the individual stuff just took off, man. The team stuff came later.
Final question on this before we get to Drape's takes. I'm going to get to Drape's takes.
Yeah.
Even though the whole show been on all our takes, really. I'm going to get to Drape's takes coming up next segment. I think Dr. J is probably the most underappreciated superstar that we've had.
Megastar. Yes.
People talk top 10 of all time, and they don't mention Dr. J, top 15 of all time. And I'm not just talking Dr. J, NBA Dr. J.
That's the thing. They don't know.
They don't know NBA Dr. J.
There it is right there. They don't have the tutelage to understand what he did back in the ABA and how he brought both of those leagues together.
Right.
And then took off once he got to Philly. Because Dr. J was the man next to the man.
Yes, yes. You see the videos in New York, Rucker Park and everything.
Come
people
on
the roofs and everything trying to look at Dr. J. Climbing the fences, trying to look at that. Before there was Jordan, Magic, Kobe on him.
It was Julius Erving. Exactly.
It was Dr. J.
It was Julius Erving.
All right, coming up at 4 o'clock, we got our guy, the glove. Gary Payton set to join the Drive guys here on Sactown Sports 1140. But next, I've been holding off on Drape's takes, but y'all done got me fired up. I got a special edition of Drape's takes. It's coming up next here on Sactown Sports. Drape's a high flyer here on Sactown Sports 1140. The Drive guys coming up at the top of the hour. We got our man, the glove himself, the Hall of Famer, Gary Payton. He'll be joining the Drive guys. I'm going to ask him about whether or not we should give the Kings a pass for last night. And not just losing, because if they would have lost and been a close game, you would have been okay. But laying over like they did, coming out flat, laying an egg, that's where the issue is. I'm going to ask High Flyer about, the glove about that.
Good.
All right.
Like I said.
You seem confident over there, bro.
No, that's why I said. I'm going to let you talk to some more guys who have actually been in there, has done that to the fullest, and see what they say.
All right. That's coming up at 4 o'clock. Right now, Jay, I want to get to Drape's takes. I've been saving this. I've been looking forward to this.
Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
I'm going to be quiet. But I'll be talking again.
It's time for Drape's takes here on Sactown Sports 1140. The Drive, guys. I'm going to start with what happened last night, Kings fans. Let's talk about what we saw out there. And everybody want to hype up De'Aaron Fox for the 40-point game. Kudos to him. That's what Star is supposed to do. All he did was what he was supposed to do. I want to give some love to my guy, Sasha Vezenkov. What he's been able to do, High Flyer, the last two games, played the final 15 minutes against the Warriors, knocked down a couple of threes, had a layup, played great defense. I thought last night, the two players that actually brought it, I thought De'Aaron Fox and Sasha Vezenkov. Sasha, 13 points, 5 of 7 from the field, 3 of 5 from three-point range. He's starting to figure out the NBA game, High Flyer, and I expect a bigger role for Sasha as we go forward.
You know what? I will say this about Sasha. I said this at the beginning. I said he has the biggest transition of any new player on the Sacramento Kings. You have to understand this young man's pedigree. He's coming from overseas in Europe to where he was a Europe MVP.
Yes.
All right. He was the man. Everything ran through him. The ball was always in his hands. It started, finished with him. Now you come over here to Sacramento, right? You're asked to be a role player. You're not the first. You're not the second. You're not the third. Sometimes you might not even be the fourth option. And now you have to figure out how can you interject your volume on the game. That's why you haven't really heard me say anything about him, positive or negative.
Right.
Because I know.
You know the transition takes some time.
It's a big transition. I've been that dude to where you the man, then all of a sudden you're a role player now.
Yeah.
How do you find your way? Because what you're used to doing ain't going to work.
24 minutes, 28 seconds, 13 points plus 6 for Sasha last night. My second Drapes take has to do with Davion Mitchell. I'm going to have to talk to Mike Brown. I'm going to have to text or call Mike Brown. Davion Mitchell played 13 minutes last night. If I'm correct, most of them were in the first half. He had 9 points, 3 of 7 shooting. Here's my take on Davion Mitchell, High Flyer. You and I were out at the arena yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The dude is putting in the work. He's out there at 3 o'clock, 3:15, getting up extra shots. And so all the fans talking bad about Davion, all the fans coming down on him, lighten up. The dude's putting in work. I thought he played well in that first half. He knocked down some shots. He looked active. You know, he didn't look like he was gassed or tired. I would have liked to seen him a little bit more. Davion is going to be okay. I think when you talk about Mike Brown's system, he's the one player that's had the hardest time adjusting because he's playing without the ball. They're running through Sabonis. So he has to make quick decisions, knock down threes, pass, shoot, whatever it may be. Davion will be all right in the NBA. I say lay off Davion Mitchell because the dude's putting in the work. It's not for lack of effort or lack of trying.
No.
He just isn't seeing the results right now. I expect they will come.
You know what? I will. You know, I salute the young dude, for real. You know, to be in the arena at 3 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game is big. He was putting in the work. And when you do that, I have to salute you because, you know, that's 50% of what the game is all about. You're giving it the effort. Now, if it just don't drop at game time, oh well, but you did your due diligence. I will ride with you on that. And yeah, he's still trying to find his way. I'm telling you, man, it's tough getting into the NBA. Number one, he's a little guard. But it's tough getting into the NBA being a 7-footer or whoever else. And then it's really tough, KD, because I've done it. I played behind a Hall of Famer. I played behind an All-Star.
Like. Okay.
It's tough to play behind a guy like De'Aaron Fox. Because when De'Aaron gets on a roll, you know you're sitting.
Or if you're out there with him, you're in the corner hoping to get the ball.
And you really have to get in the mindset of, okay, I was a scorer back in college, but you might not be a scorer in the NBA. You're going to have to figure out what to bring to this team that De'Aaron isn't bringing. And that's hard.
That's hard. Because De'Aaron's doing a little bit of everything, right? He's doing a lot of everything right now.
The only thing De'Aaron isn't doing that I think Davion can shine at, you pick up from inline to inline.
Right. And that's not a coaching thing, High Flyer? Is that an individual decision? Like, you know what? I'm going to pick up full court.
It's a coaching thing, but it's an individual decision, man, because you got to buy into that.
Right.
I mean, I was a scorer in college. Man, when I came and I was Mitch's reserve, I might get 2-3 shots a night, if that. Mm. Defensive-minded. So I understand where he's coming from, but you got to get into your mind, okay, this is what I have to do. You know what? Don't worry about your offense, bro.
Last season.
Don't worry about that. Bring an element on the defensive side that nobody else brings.
My last Drapes take before we get to the glove himself, Gary Payton. Kings fans, I've been saying the last 2 hours we should give Sacramento a pass. The Kings deserve a pass, and I maintain that. But my takeaway from these last 2 hours is the expectations level has raised.
And rightfully so.
And rightfully so. And I'm okay with that.
Because you know what?
What?
The number one guy didn't raise the expectations.
He didn't raise the expectations. We buying in now.
Bought in.
Mike Brown saying championship, championship, championship.
He got my money.
He got you.
I'm broke.
You done already bought the tickets and everything. You already. Hey, coming up next, we got the glove. Gary Payton set to join us here on The Drive, guys. I'm going to ask him, should the Kings get a pass for last night's game against the Clippers? Land an egg. We got the Hall of Famer joining The Drive, guys, next on Sactown Sports 1140.